Hello and welcome to the first edition of Radio Edutalk of 2018. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome back to the show our good friend Angela Gardner of Inform Scotland. And we're going to be hearing about, we're going to be looking back to 2017 and looking forward to 2018 in the field or fields of learning and skills. So Angela, welcome back to Radio Edutalk. I trust you had a good festive period.
Thank you very much, David. It's almost become considered an annual event now, being first on the show.
Yeah, let's go for it. Yeah, we'll put you in already for 2019.
But thanks very much. Yes, and had a good Christmas. Thank you. It's always hard to get back after having a bit of a break. But there's plenty happening. And plenty to keep me occupied. So, yeah, interesting year ahead.
And I'm sure some listeners have already, you know, been visiting your website and your blog that we'll hear about later on, and where you've kind of given readers a kind of flavour of what's to come this evening. So just before you tell us about what's hot and maybe have a wee look back at last year, could you just tell us a little bit about your background, Angela, for those who aren't aware of your work?
Thanks very much. This is the sixth year of producing Informed Scotland. It turned five in May last year. My background, probably surprisingly for quite a few, I've never been a teacher. I started out in industry as a research technologist for BP in Grangemouth. And I later moved into corporate communications after having been actively involved in various ways with working with education as volunteer schools link officer and also encouraging girls and young women into science and technology. When I left BP many years ago, I set up my own freelance consultancy specialising in learning and skills and in engaging business with education and the wider community. And I started producing Informed Scotland following on from having produced something similar for a client for a few years and then recognising that there was a gap in the information market for something which looked right across the learning and skills landscape. So not just at schools, but at what's happening in further education, in higher education, in early years, in business, in skills shortages, and where all that sat within the economy and the political scene. And that's where Informed Scotland sits. I've been producing that now for about just over 5 years.
That's great, Angela, and we'll make sure to hear more about how people can sign up and subscribe to Inform Scotland later on in the show. For now, Angela, could you take us through the kind of chart then that you've been putting together over the last couple of years in terms of what the hottest topics were last year in 2017?
Thanks, yes. So it's actually the fifth year that I've done this. I looked back at the previous year's issues of Informed Scotland, seeing what was making the covers. So what were the hot topics in each of the 10 issues over the year, and then doing a quick tally of what was coming out on the front page more regularly than the others. And once again, following on from last year, digital skills and inclusion was at the top. It was number one last year, and it's never actually been out of the top three since the first list was compiled in 2013. Perhaps a little less of a surprise to see teacher education up there this year in joint second place. So teacher education, development, shortages and recruitment, that whole area. So you could have just put teachers as the topic, really. It put in its first appearance in the hottest topics list last year, and this year, so perhaps not surprisingly, it's been making the national headlines for various reasons over the year, particularly to do with teacher shortages and issues to do with recruitment. So that's in an equal second with widening access. Widening access is like digital skills has been in every list since 2013, and this year or last year, 2017 was no exception. There are three other topics that have been in every list: apprenticeships, STEM, science, technology, engineering and maths, and skills gaps and shortages. But there were two newcomers, first-time appearances on the list this year: future skills, learning and work at number four, which was a bit of a surprise because every year there's something being said about, are we prepared for the future? Are we looking ahead? Or what can we learn from research and shortages and so on about what's happening in the future? But this last year, there were some quite significant pieces of work done. I'll come back to that afterwards. And the other one which made the list was actually an interesting one. It was statistics, students, leavers and graduates. There were some quite significant reports about that, which pushed that up onto the list. So that was it. The ones that weren't that I haven't mentioned: developing the young workforce, leadership, gender gaps and equity, and international comparisons and collaboration. So that made up the list for 2017.
And for yourself, Angela, what do you think were the kind of big stories, the big issues that kind of helped to push certain topics towards the top of last year's chart?
Well, having Scottish Government place education at the heart of their plans has driven quite a lot of what happened over the year. Other things that have pushed things up were funding injections, so things like if a charitable foundation has been putting money into a particular issue, or the city deals, then skills shortages, some of that prompted by Brexit. So there were things that were bubbling around to do with health service skills and training. And then issues to do with, what's happening, what the grassroots. So, again, gender and gender inequity and campaigns there that tended to push the issues to do with learning and skills up the agenda. But in terms of the actual main items on the list and what sort of were the key things that happened under those. So, for example, in digital, we had the Young Scots Digital Rights Report. There was quite a lot said about digital inclusion. For example, Carnegie Trust recent report. Quite a lot of people saying it's time to not assume that young people are what's called digital natives, and we need to actually be making sure that people are well and truly prepared and supported. There were issues to do with cyber skills, for example, a new Skills Development Scotland programme for S1 to S3 and cyber skills, and computing education, which has bubbled around as an issue within digital but seemed to come more to the fore last year. Issues which were taken up by the Scottish Parliament's Education Skills Committee were other things which prompted issues to be on the front pages. So, for example, with teacher education, shortages, recruitment, development, the Scottish Parliament's Education Skills Committee looked at teacher workforce planning, and there was quite a significant report there. On widening access, the main lead player there was the Commission on Fair Access, with the commissioner that was appointed. And University Scotland, collectively with its members, was very actively involved in looking at things like the use of contextual information on admissions to university. So not just looking at qualifications and even UCAS personal statements, but looking at what's behind those, what are the people, the individuals, looking at how they can widen access. The Scottish Funding Council also produced the first statistical report on widening access. Although they've been reviewing this yearly, that was the first time they produced a report specifically like that. I mentioned the future skills, learning and work. being an issue, which I was surprised to see that suddenly appearing on there. But having looked back over the year, we had some really significant pieces of work by organisations like IUPPR Scotland, who were looking at what the future of work and skills. Nesta and Pearson also produced major reports on future of jobs and work. And the Goodison Group in Scotland and Scotland's Futures Forum are carrying out a future schooling review or programme of debates. And that also helped to raise its profile. And I think we'll probably see a little bit more of that next year as well, this year as well. Other topics, it was good to see developing the young workforce back up there on the list. It missed out last year, but the great thing there, I think, was it probably got lost in a lot of the other activity and politics around education that happened. But actually developing young workforce met its target, which was to reduce the youth unemployment figure rate by 40% by 2021. And they did that 4 years early. And I think, you know, a round of applause there. And it was good to have some really good positive results and positive news. Apprenticeships, we obviously had the apprentice levy coming in and the new flexible work-based fund, which was set up last year to use some of the money that comes to Scotland from the apprenticeship levy. We also had the development of new work-based graduate level apprenticeships and the growth of graduate level apprenticeships and other levels of apprenticeships, and the target for new starts of apprenticeships, which has been continuing to be increased each year, and it, in fact, it's just been increased for 2018. Things like for seeing international collaboration and comparisons on the list. We had Scotland's Universities Welcome the World campaign, which was a really upbeat campaign that was launched earlier on last year. We had some quite less upbeat figures from the OECD's PISA report, which looked at school pupils' results, and that made quite a lot of headlines at the time. We also had the first report from the International Council of Education Advisors on schools in the summer, and a lot of collaboration going on, which at the same time as there's a lot of doom and gloom around issues to do with Brexit, it was interesting to see that there was a lot of focus in Scotland on at least on collaboration across borders, which was good. STEM, sorry, stop me if I'm rabbiting on here, but there's
no, not at all, Angela. It's really, really interesting. Just to go back 12 months and see what we were focusing on, and it'll be interesting. Please continue, but I'm looking forward to also hearing about, you know, whether a lot of these topics you think will run into to 2018, along with maybe particularly sort of new topics on the horizon. But we'll hear about that soon. Please continue.
I'll quick whistle stop tour then of the others. Then so with STEM, we had the government produced these STEM education training strategy, and that's likely to obviously spill over into this year as the strategy is implemented. We had on skills gaps and shortages, Skills Development Scotland produced the first Jobs and Skills in Scotland report, and they also produced a revised skills investment plan on food and drink. Also had a new Centre for Work-Based Learning, which was set up by Skills Development Scotland, which is looking, again, that will focus in on future skills, learning and work, and also on skills gaps and shortages. But I think in terms of the drivers, I mentioned a few. I mean, obviously, the fact that the Scottish Government's education priority is, they've described it themselves as radical reform for schools. I think what's already come out over 2017 were the sort of plans and consultations. We had obviously the new regional improvement collaboratives were set up. The six regional improvement collaboratives were set up. We had the education governance report with major changes ahead for the school sector. We had an enterprise and skills review, phase two report, and we also had the funding announcements on pupil. We had pupil equity funding and the Scottish Attainment Challenge funding, which were beginning to really see schools have more control over funding. And again, more of that to come in 2018. On a UK-wide basis, we had the UK government produce the publish the industrial strategy, which also has an element of that which is very focused on skills. And as I mentioned, Scottish Parliament's Education Skills Committee were very active. They were looking at additional support for learning and personal social education, as well as a number of other issues. So there was a lot happening, and a lot of that, as I say, will spill into this year. I also, I like to look at some of the other stories behind the news. So the things that we said hello to last year and things we said goodbye to. So we said goodbye to the UK Commission for Employment and Skills, which I have to say I was one of those who was mourning its loss with a huge important source of statistical reports and analysis. But Skills Development Scotland has stepped in a couple of places to cover for that, which has been great. We said goodbye to the Scottish Survey of Literacy and Numeracy, but we said hello to the Scottish National Standardised Assessments, somewhat controversially. We had a new Scottish Education Council was set up the first time, something which has got the great and the good of school education involved in that. And a new Enterprise and Skills Strategic Board. And we said goodbye to unit assessments in National Fives, and this year we'll say goodbye to the unit assessments in Highers. We also had the first Scottish Financial Education Week in 2017. That was a quick whistle-stop tour of some of the things that happened. Words of the year, I think, last year. Hub. We had a lot of hubs. Science hub, fair access arts hub, digital skills hubs, fintech hubs. Family learning, I think, was beginning to take off as a phrase that people were using. There was a bit of myth-busting going on, which was maybe to counteract the fake news. So we had inspection myth busters, for example, from Education Scotland, a few other evidence-based reports coming out, and a focus on evidence, which was quite nice to see, I say, to balance the fake news that was around, or that's still around.
And Angela, in your recent blog post, you kind of touched on some surprises or surprise omissions from the 2017 chart. And I know one of the things that you've noticed recently is when it's maybe the year of the something or whatever, that it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to make its way into the top 10. So could you say a bit more about that and maybe take us through some of the other maybe surprises for you personally that haven't in recent years or last year haven't made it onto the top 10 list?
It's almost been a standard thing that every year when they have the year of, so 2016 was the year of innovation, architecture and design, and didn't really impact the learning and skills agenda, so it wasn't on my list at least. Last year, 2017, was Scotland's year of history, heritage and archaeology, but there's no sign of that impact in the list. However, it will all change this year because 2018 is the year of young people, and it's already been on one cover of Informed Scotland, and I expect it to permeate what's happening throughout the year. for obvious reasons in that young people tend to be more associated traditionally with learning and skills. However, I think it's also because it's something which captures, it's already captured the imagination of a lot of organisations right across the landscape. And I think that will certainly be something which will be impacting. And young Scot are obviously taking a lead role, as is the Scottish Youth Parliament and Children in Scotland. But I think there's, as I say, a lot of organisations that are wanting to get involved with that. And look out for next week, we'll be publishing a guest blog by Jeff Leask, the Chief Exec of Young Enterprise Scotland, who I know you've had on the show. He's writing a blog about how what their involvement and is going to be in the Year of Young People, with a focus on enterprise, obviously, as you'd expect. So that'll be interesting to read. But yeah, that was one of my, well, not surprises. I didn't expect to see last year's year making the list. There were a couple of things I did think I had expected to see. One was raising attainment or closing the attainment gap. It was just outside the list, but with Pupil Equity Fund and Attainment Challenge funding, and one of the three key elements of the delivery plan for education being closing the gap, I really thought that would have been higher up. But not to say there wasn't a lot happening, it just didn't seem to be a key issue that was regularly making the front covers. The other thing I thought might have been on there was early learning and childcare. It actually made it onto the cover for the third time in 49 issues. I made a note of that because it was quite surprising, really, that it hasn't been featuring more highly. And it just missed out. And there's just had published Skills Development Scotland's Skills Investment Plan for the early learning and childcare sector. So maybe this year will be the year that we'll see early learning or early years somewhere near the list. Yeah, those were my sort of surprises. I had a couple of favourite things, which I normally look out for things that are favourite. My favourite was the SQA's films of cookery skills, which was demonstrated by the Master Chef, the professionals, City of Glasgow College's famous senior lecturer, who if you look out for the SQA's films, you don't have to be a budding chef to find those films really useful for everyday cookery skills. And the other things I found interesting was a few different takes on an enterprising cafe or something within a school. So for it, the one I liked was a Higher Grounds Cafe, which opened, and I don't have a note of the school, I just remember it was one that was supported by Prince's Trust and Developing the Young Workforce, the local area. And the Scottish Association of Teachers of PE published a Higher PE Revision Wiki, and I thought that really did use technology in a different way to support teachers across the country, and was a good model for other teachers societies to use.
It's great to hear you mentioning technology from quite a few years ago, the wiki. Yeah, we don't talk about that. Well, I'm sure we all use wikis probably every week, but we just don't realise, and Wikipedia. But very powerful technology tool, and great to hear that PE teachers are using that. I'll definitely pass that on to my colleagues. And at this point, Angela, it would be great to hear what is coming up in 2018 and what stands out for you. So, you know, looking at the kind of national policy drivers and priorities, you know, what topics are out there, you know, even events that we should be looking out for and maybe signing up for soon. So what is on the horizon?
Well, Well, obviously, I've mentioned the Year of Young People. It's also the UK Year of Engineering. So, I mean, it's obviously expecting, in terms of hottest topics, expect to see something about Year of Young People. Also expect to see STEM back up there again. As far as generally education is concerned, I think for particularly school education, the fact that the Scottish Government has still got education right at the heart of its plans, we'll see. And we have the Education Scotland Bill, which is due to be introduced later on in 2018, with quite, as I said earlier, quite radical changes proposed. There will be, within the bill, there's going to be a head teacher's charter, which will give school head teachers more responsibility and more direct funding. And there's also within the bill the plans for increased parental engagement and community engagement with schools, to give children and young people a more prominent voice in schools and in school planning. And just the focus within the delivery plan on closing the attainment gap, so the poverty-related attainment gap, so through things like the attainment challenge funding and people equity funding, I think, you know, that's going to keep people plenty occupied. But there are some other changes which are causing some concern at the moment. So the proposed change to through the governance review to General Teaching Council for Scotland. It's one of my own personal hopes is we won't see the role of the GTC Scotland diminished. The plan is to introduce an Education Workforce Council, and that would include the Community Learning and Development Standards Council, which is another professional body. I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But the consultation on the Education Scotland Bill is running until the end of this month, 30th of January. So there's still time for people to put in their own views. And I know that the Education and Skills Committee for the Scottish Parliament held an open meeting, or a meeting in just yesterday, I think, in the West. And I think that was pretty well attended by what I've seen on social media. So there's obviously a lot. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot for people to consider. And they are looking for feedback and comment. Obviously, with the regional improvement collaboratives as they begin to take effect, and their plans are, well, the expectation was for the first plans for each of the collaboratives to be published this month. So that'll be interesting. In terms of some of the other issues that are likely to be back on the hottest topics list, widening access, I'm sure, will still be there. Digital, I am sure, will still be there. Leadership is going to be an interesting one to see what happens there. Again, something that came out of the education plans, from the government plans, is that the government governance review, that Education Scotland will have an increased role, a strengthened role, and that will include Scottish College for Educational Leadership becoming part of Education Scotland during this year. I hope that SCEL will retain its momentum. It's certainly it's captured the imagination of not just the school fraternity, but I think wider than that as well, with the way that Gillian Hamilton and her team have approached leadership right across the school profession. So that'll be interesting. And areas that might appear on the list. So I mentioned attainment, improvement with the improvement collaboratives. And I'm not expecting issues like apprenticeships to disappear. I'm expecting to see them still on the list. And probably gender balance and equity will be back again. As I said, perhaps early learning will actually make it onto the list this year. Things to look out for and in terms of events, the Scottish Credit and Qualifications Framework Partnership has a major conference coming up in February. There's a lovely group of events coming up, lovely because of the way the whole naming procedure that Pedigoo goes through to come up with a different name for all of its events. So Pedigoo has got a group of events, series of events coming up on under the wonderful names of Muckle and you can probably say it better than me. Gathering with an extra I. Is it gathering?
Put me in this boy here.
Don't laugh.
Gathering.
Yes. So there's a, but look out for
the. I thought you were going to ask me to say Muckle.
Muckle, I can say. It's the other one I'm not so hot at. But yeah, so look out for their events. I think those are February, but yeah, coming up soon. Great events for grassroots for teachers to come together and exchange learning and resources and ideas and enthusiasm. We've got the first of the, and someone will correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure, but I think it's the first of the learning festivals coming up in this one's in Aberdeen, and that one's run by the Northern Alliance, which is sort of the trailblazer for regional improvement collaboratives, the one that was used as a bit of model for the others. So that's happening in February. And obviously we'll have the Scottish Learning Festival, the big one in September, but there will be other festivals of learning in other local authorities, I'm sure, regional collaboratives will run throughout the year. There's an interesting series of events being run by Scottish College for Educational Leadership, a series coming up, for example, on middle leadership for principal teachers. We'll have the usual Scottish Apprenticeship Week happening in March. There's also for the first time something called the College Expo happening in June, and they're currently put out a call for speakers and for workshop presenters and talks and keynotes. That'll take place in June it's happening in Queen Margaret University, but it's going to be a 2-day event. Looks really interesting. We've also got a Times Higher Education Teaching Excellence Summit taking place at the University of Glasgow in July. And again, looks like a really interesting one to look out for. But with all of the events, if you keep an eye on the Learning and Skills events calendar that is on the website, that should keep you right.
Just at this point, Angela, you know, can you tell us a wee bit then about your web presence? I mean, the Learning Skills calendar has been invaluable for me. Can you say a bit more about it then, just at this point, and a bit more about the website and the kind of blog posts that go up?
Yeah, thanks very much. So the Learning and Skills events calendar is there's no charge for anybody who wants to send me information about what events you've got coming up. So it's very much a professional learning and skills. There's workshops, conferences, exhibitions, talks, seminars. Everything is face-to-face events, apart from, of course, we do put on there the Radio Edge Talk shows, just because I think I have a soft spot for you all at Radio Edu Talk. But the rest of the events are all events you can actually physically attend. There's quite a lot of them actually don't cost you anything to attend. But we do put on commercial ones as well, so the commercial conferences that take place. But the idea is to give you a one-stop shop where you can find events that are happening. And haven't done it this year yet, but usually on a Friday, or if a bit late, but it's usually a Friday, there's a tweet or a series of tweets that go out which signal or which mention the organisers of the events on the calendar for the following week. So it just gives you a heads up of what events are coming up in the following week. So if you have any events, please do let me know. Tweet at Informed Scott with a link to where the more details are, and we'll share them on there. Other things on the website, when an Informed Scotland publication is published, so each time there's a digest, and there are 10 monthly issues a year, so there's two double issues, one for December, January. So the next one is the December, January issue, which is due out at the beginning of February. And then there's one in the summer that covers the two summer months, which comes out in September. But whenever a new issue is out, we also publish a blog which highlights the key issues and tries to make the connections between things that are happening. So if there's a few people or a few different organisations that are addressing a similar topic, try to draw those things together, and also just pull out the highlights and any surprising things that have happened over the previous months, or any key issues that we think people should be aware of. And it also always includes links to the source material. So it's the idea is you have a look on there and you can click through to the information. But to get the full picture, you really are better if you can get hold of the digest, which is full of summaries and has the occasional annex with a bit more detail. So when something like a government key document is published, we'd normally pull out of that the key action points, or if it's a consultation, it's a major consultation like the Education Scotland Bill, then the key questions are sort of republished in there, so that our subscribers have easy access to the information that they need. And again, with a link through to the source material. The other things that are on there, so guest blogs. I mentioned we've got one coming up from Jeff Leask of Young Enterprise. The last one we had, the previous one we had, was by Neil Mathers from Children's University Scotland. So we have guest blogs from our subscribers. And they look at a range of topics under the heading of making connections across the learning and skills landscape. And then there's also an annual organisations and people special that have published since 2013, I think. And that's published in the summer. And it's a bit like a who's where in learning and skills. And each year it seems to get a bit bigger. So it now has the Regional Improvement Collaboratives in it, and it also this year also added last year we added the teacher associations lists for subject specific associations, but it's a sort of directory of a snapshot of where people are in learning and skills. I think that's probably. There was also occasional special issues. So last year we published a leadership special, which was commissioned by the Scottish College for Educational Leadership. And those ones, if they're commissioned like that, or if they're to tie in with an event, those are freely available and are published as a download on the website.
And we don't need to go into the costings at this particular moment, Angela, but if people would like to find out more information and have a chat with you about actually subscribing to Inform Scotland, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Well, if they can email me at the details are on the website, so either tweet or if they want to email me at info@ajenterprises.co.uk, there's a sample copy of an Informed Scotland edition on the website that's free to download. But if you want, if you drop me an email, and I'll send you the most recent issue so you get a chance to have a look at it. And the subscription details are also on the website as well. They're there for the prices and so on, and they are tiered for different types of subscribers, from sort of concessions up to a large to medium-sized organization. And an organization will get access to, or will be given, are entitled to share copies with all their employees. So a local authority, for example, that subscribes can share copies with all of the staff in the local authority, and that includes the staff in all schools. So I've got a number who send them out to their schools, or put them on their intranet so that others can and get hold of them that way.
I think it's important, you know, to say, you know, on behalf of myself and John, Angela, that we're really grateful for all the support and the kind words earlier on in the show, but more importantly, the support that you've provided Radio EduTalk for many years now. You've mentioned a few names there of guest bloggers, and listeners will recognise those names from EduTalk shows. And that we always, the way we work is we always say to the education community, who would you like to hear on the show? You know, who's got something to say, who's got something to share with the education community? And you know, we get lots of suggestions from academics, etc., and from classroom teachers. But you know, yourself, Angela, you've provided so much support, so many contacts. You've networked and put people in touch with us, and we've got to know people through you, who have then gone on to be great guests. So on behalf of John and I, thank you so much. But I just wonder, before we head off into the night, Angela, on this very wintry evening, any final thoughts? I felt as if I kind of cut you off a wee bit earlier on, so anything else you'd like to share with listeners about what's coming up?
I think we probably covered most things. I mean, the problem is I've got there's such a lot happening, and such a lot that is, you know, if you just unpicking one of these headings, you know, you can, there's such a lot to share and such a lot that's in my head. In fact, for the first time last year, I held, invited by one of our subscribers to come along and run a session on to give them a briefing of this particular one. Was done on what's happening in school education, and it was actually great to be able to pull all that together and then to talk through it with their team. And that's something I'm hoping I'll be able to do more of, or I'll be offering to do more of this year. So if anybody is, you know, has a team that's perhaps could do with knowing a little bit more about a particular aspect of the landscape, or wants to sort of address some of the issues that are coming up and look at, you know, where does that fit? Where does my organisation fit within that landscape? Or what are the skills investment plans that fit where I'm heading? Or wants to know a bit more about, you know, the basics of what's happening in schools? It's something that I'd like to be able to offer, because, as I say, there's a wealth of information that's tucked away in the archive of Informed Scotland, and you know, it's good to be able to share that. And making connections is a big part of what I do. You know, I enjoy that, and doing the networking side of it, but I also enjoy helping people to make sense of what's happening, and also to learn from other sectors, from what's happened before, how other people have, or other organisations and sectors have looked at something. Learning and skills is, there's such a lot happening. I mean, one of the things actually I haven't mentioned enough, and that's partly because it doesn't make it onto the hottest topics list, and would be a personal hope, is that something like adult learning, I always think of it as it's the Cinderella of learning and skills. And, we had a blog last year by Jackie Borge looking at the Adult Achievement Awards. She went to the conference that was held at New Battle. And at that event, you know, they were talking about the plans to roll that out across Scotland and wider. And I think there's a lot the lifelong learning agenda and looking at learning throughout life is very important. And, you know, the year of young people, I hope, won't detract from that. I hope that we will see that as an opportunity to tie adult learning in with the young, year of young people. And so I think that's something that, you know, I'd like to see, you know, sort of learning throughout life and making connections across the landscape are probably the two of the big parts for me is of why I do what I do, what I really like about what I do. Yeah, I think that probably. Yeah. I could go on for all night, but
it's been great. I think you've set the scene for all of us for the year ahead, Angela. There won't be, might not be too many surprises for us, and lots to get involved with. Whether that's responding to consultations or attending events, or really just being able to get a handle on what's on the horizon in terms of policy and initiatives that actually could affect and hopefully enhance what we do in our work with learners in whatever shape or form. So thank you so much for taking time out to join us on EduTalk, Angela. I hope you remain a close friend of EduTalk, and we would love to have you back on, hopefully not in 12 months' time, but before then. No doubt there'll be lots more to speak about, but yeah, maybe we should put you in for next January while we're at it. So,
thanks very much. And I say I look forward to listening to you either live or you or and John or catching up on podcasts. And I think, you know, you do a great job. It's, I mean, mutual support here, but I do think that what you do is tremendous to keep that commitment going throughout the year. And since when did you start? Was it 2008 or was it earlier than that?
Oh my goodness. Which one would be able to answer that? Yeah, 2005 possibly. I think,
was it 2005?
Yeah, it was SLF talk, Scottish Learning Festival talk.
I mean, the range of guests you have on, it's great. So, yeah, keep up the good work, and I look forward to listening to plenty of other people who are far more articulate and don't ramble as much. But
no, you've been great as ever, Angela. Thanks again for the kind words, by the way. You know, John and I, we met just during the festive period there, and we're both still loving it. I know we're both very busy with other things and with our full-time jobs like everybody else, but we absolutely love doing Radio EduTalk, and you know, we've got exciting plans for the year ahead, and we can already see at edutalk.cc under forthcoming shows that we've got lots of really excellent guests lined up for January and into February. So yeah, thanks again for your support.
Yeah, brilliant. Yes, I'm looking forward to, is it Liz Neil you've got next week, I think?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I shall look forward to hearing that.
Yeah, in fact, quite an international flavour to our shows in the early part of the year.